Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
All right, welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, part of the many amazing services provided by the Forever Family Foundations. This is a show where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host tonight, I have the honor and privilege of conversing with the very gifted medium, Gina Simone. Gina is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation who has felt the presence of spirit since the age of 11. As is often the case, she at first dismissed her abilities due to the fear and inability to process what was happening. However, after significant study and mentorship, she embraced all of her abilities and blossomed into the evidential medium that she is today. In addition to connecting with spirit for messages, she also teaches her clients how to communicate and connect on their own with their loved ones, as she believes that tapping into one's own innate intuitive ability is something to which we should all aspire. She's the author of Whispers of Love, Spirit's Messages from Heartbreak to Hope, and Gina's website is www.ginasimonemedium.com. So Gina Simone, her name, medium.com, no spaces. Our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters such as the Kamloops Center, The Kamloops Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisietti, and others. And our main topic tonight is dealing with afterlife skepticism. This should be a really good one. And dear listeners, tonight's show, it's conducted for research and informational purposes only, so your questions are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Gina will not be performing any readings tonight, okay? That's on a different type of show that we have. If you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call our number. It's 1-800-627-6008. All right, so I've said my spiel. So Gina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Roman. Thank you so much for having me tonight, and thank you to everyone who's tuning in and listening in.
Oh, great. It's so nice to have you, and I hope you're staying safe from the corona outbreak that's taking over the world.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about skepticism tonight, because skepticism and fear, which is what we're all going through right now with this virus and trying to get the right information, it really comes from the same place. And that is giving into a power that is outside of ourselves, which brings on more fear and then more skepticism and more worry and concern. So everything really is kind of tied in. But I hope that everyone is safe who's listening in, and I hope that this really blows past us and it doesn't become as large as they say it's going to.
Right, right. I know that, you know, a lot of people are taking a lot of precautions and governments are getting involved, and you know, my kids' school is shut down tomorrow. Tomorrow, and they're discussing already what they're going to be doing. And you know, with my work, I'm going to be working from home. So I mean, all these measures are being made. You know, all these sporting events are canceled, and you know, it's just part of, you know, what we have to deal with. And I think, you know, people took a look at Italy and saw what's going on there and how it just blew out of proportion very, very quickly. So they don't want that to happen here. So hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll stay all safe and it blows by us in a couple of weeks and, you know, everything gets back to normal. But today's topic is, it's one that Bob Ginsburg and Fran, his beautiful wife, you know, we communicate often about, you know, what kind of topic should we bring to the show and that kind of thing. And this is actually one of my suggestions, because I know that people that, you know, believe in the spirituality or practice spirituality, at some point, or could be often, not very often, they face skepticism. And so this is a very important topic for, for our listeners, I believe. So dealing with skepticism about the afterlife. So have you encountered this skepticism during your practice as a medium, and how did you prevail with that?
Well, I'll tell you, as a medium and having many medium friends, this is something that we deal with on a daily basis. Whether it's a client that's coming in and isn't too sure about what is going to happen during the session, or whether it's just skepticism of the entire field and you're out somewhere and someone's asking you, you know, what do you do for a living? And you say, I'm a medium. And then there's that, oh, really? Like, is that really happened? Do people believe in this? So skepticism, unfortunately, in this field is something that's very prevalent. And I love when someone comes to me and they say, you know, my wife, you know, forced me to come for a reading and she really needs me to get some insight and to connect with spirit. And I love when they walk away, and I say this to my clients all the time, I hope that what you get from this is that you're never alone, that there is an energy that's around you that must be giving me the information that we are validating in order to let you know that your loved ones are still with you, even though physically they're no longer here.
Right.
Skeptics, I'm not one to want to turn someone's, you know, mind around and force them to believe. I want everyone to believe wherever they're at. If they want to be skeptical even after a reading, that's fine and that's okay. But when it comes to skepticism, we kind of want what we want to see. So in other words, spirit may come through in a reading and give certain validations, but that person who's sitting there as the client may really be thinking, well, I'm not going to believe that this is true unless my loved one on the other side says X, Y, or Z, or they indicate what it is that I'm holding in my pocket, right? So as humans, we want to be proven something the way that we want it. And as we know, for those of us who work with spirits, that's not how it works on the other side. As a matter of fact, let me just give you an example.
Okay.
I was doing a reading the other day with a client on Skype, and her daughter was coming through who had crossed over from some sort of bone disease. And she was validating all of these great things and the way that they honored her, and she was validating what her room looked like, and she was saying, thank you for still wearing my sweatshirt that I know that you wear, and all of these validations. And then I said one thing about her as a daughter acknowledging that her cat finally crossed over, and she's with her cat. And the woman actually said, I really thought to myself, please, if this woman, meaning me, is legit, have her please say something about the cat. Now, all of the other validations were all spot on, and spirit was coming through very clearly, but this woman only validated the reading if spirit brought through the cat, and thank God that spirit did. But
right.
Not in every reading. Not every reading is going to come through the one little nickname that someone used to call you, or what was the special thing that my mother and I used to do, you know, on Sunday afternoons. That's the skeptical part of us that says, well, if this person is really legit, if this medium is really legit, and this is all really true, and spirit really is on the other side, then I know that my loved one is going to say X, Y, Z. And that's not how spirit works.
Right, yeah. Yep. If you're an open-minded skeptic, then you kind of are not looking for a specific example. You're just, you know, looking at the experience and, you know, seeing what comes through. And in the readings that I've been to, because my son crossed over about 10 years ago, and he's come through, like, in spades, and, like, amazingly. But I wasn't going into any of these sessions asking for anything in particular, but what I received was, you know, because I wasn't focused on this one thing, I received a lot of a lot of help and a lot of validation on him, you know, being in some other form of energy.
Yeah, and as a medium, when I am sitting down with a client and we are connecting and validating, experiences and names and things like that, it's important for me and for spirit on the other side that not only do they validate, okay, this was my name and this is when I passed and this is how I passed, But I love when spirit turns around and actually brings up experiences that have happened since they've crossed, because that's spirit's way of saying, I'm no longer physically here, but I know so-and-so was born after I passed, or I know how you did a memorial for me, and then they go into the specifics. Because it's also about how spirit wants to let you know, I'm here on the other side loving you. I know you can't feel me, you can't touch me, you can't see me, but I still see everything that you're going through. And right. especially if the loved one can help, that the loved one, the spirit entity can help the client to just really connect with, there's a way to connect with spirit that we can all do this on our own. You know, yes, it's great to go to a medium to get validation, but I love, as you mentioned in the intro, I love to be able to teach my clients how to connect on their own.
That's fantastic. I would, yeah, I definitely, you know, even though I've been spiritual for, you know, 10 years, I definitely can use some lessons. So we're going to talk offline about this.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't actually, you know, I don't really go about preaching spirituality to everybody that I meet, but at the same time, I like to be able to defend my position on the afterlife. So,
okay.
What are some of the best arguments that you would suggest for somebody?
About defending that spirit is really here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, one thing that I bring up is, how can a medium possibly validate the things that come through in a reading unless we're getting this information from somewhere, right?
Okay.
It's just not possible.
And this is where they would say, well, you know, they take your credit card information and they run your name and they find out, they Google your name and they find out everything about you.
And I totally understand that. And from a logical standpoint, that may make sense. Mm-hmm. But how does one find out information about when they went to look for a new house and their father in spirit is coming through and the father says, I saw the sawdust that was on the floor in the living room?
Right.
Where do you get that information from when you Google?
Right.
See, the thing is, we're not, some mediums are obviously giving names and dates, but then we're giving experiences. Like, remember when we were younger and we were down by the lake and little Johnny almost drowned? Okay, those are the kind of experiences that there's no way that you can Google that information. And I'm also going to be honest, a medium that's worth their weight and salt has too much to do and too much work going on that there's no way that we even have the time or the desire to start
right.
Googling people.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're preaching to the choir. I totally understand that. But, you know, this is more like for our listeners in case they encounter some skepticism. These are solid arguments. What else would you
okay,
say?
Okay, and I can totally understand that because, right, as humans, mm-hmm. we're like, okay, I don't want to be taken as a fool, and I don't want someone
right.
taking my money and spitting mm-hmm. out information to me that they can find on the Internet. That's all the preliminary stuff. Once you get into
yeah.
a reading and the medium is actually saying, you know, your father is saying, please make peace with your sister because he doesn't want to see the two of you fighting. Where did that information come from the Internet? Like
right.
that's the kind of stuff that comes through readings. It's not just about validating information about the spirit. It's also about look what's going on in your life that spirit is validating. They know.
Right. So you're giving experiences rather than names and dates.
Exactly. I mean, look, we give names and dates and that and how the person passed to validate, okay, this is the one that this is
right.
the spirit that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Once we establish that, I can only speak for my readings because that's all that I know. Once we establish who the spirit is that we're talking to, now all of a sudden we go into the experiences
right.
or they're talking about their favorite blue shirt. Or they're saying, thank you for keeping my monkey stuffed animal. Like, those are the kind of things that you can't find on the Internet.
Absolutely. So, how do you see spirit? Like, when you're doing a reading, how does spirit come to you? Is it clairaudience? Do you see the spirit in front of you?
Okay, so each medium has their own tools of
yep.
how they connect with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I hear them. Sometimes I see them. I feel them. But more than anything, it's just the clairvoyance. It's just something that comes to me out of the blue. Like today I was doing a reading, and all of a sudden I heard scream out Ralph. And I said to the woman, Ralph is here. And she said, oh, my God, that's my father-in-law. Now, how did I see that? He just threw the name Ralph right in front of me. I saw it sort of like on a board. So each medium is different in how we get our information. And for me, most of the time it comes through as just a knowing, which is really hard in the beginning, because when information comes and you're not seeing something or you're not feeling it, but you just know it, there's nothing tangible to say, okay, this is where I'm getting it from. It's
how did
just
you overcome doubting?
Up.
How did you overcome, I mean, probably at the beginning, and based on what I've read of your bio, you know, you were having these connections and you didn't know what to do with it. So you probably had some reservations and doubts about what you were receiving. How did you overcome that doubt to know that what you're receiving is real?
Yeah, well, I talk about this in my book, Whispers of Love. When I was growing up with this gift as a little girl, I had parents who did not appreciate me bringing up spirit or seeing spirit,
and they
squashed it. They really did say, if you talk about this anymore, we're going to have some major problems. So they were afraid of it, and I wasn't allowed to talk about it. But in the book, I talk about how years later, my son, who was 2.5 at the time, fell into a pool, and I didn't know that he was in the backyard, and something said, quickly go to the back, and I just listened to that voice, and I found him in the pool, and I was able to jump in and push him to the side. Since that day, spirit has been showing up, and that day in particular, spirit showed up around the pool, and they were like these beings that were standing there, and they said, you can't ignore us anymore, and that was back in 1994. I mean, this was a long time ago.
Wow.
So I then didn't know what to do with this gift, and I started just meditating, and I just started asking who's the next mentor, who's the next teacher, and slowly, spirit brought the next individual that was going to teach me the next thing that I needed to know about spirituality. But in the beginning, I didn't understand the messages that I was getting or who was coming to visit me or why they were speaking to me. I had no idea. And it was really hard, because when you're growing up with parents who don't believe in this and they're not nurturing it, it becomes even harder.
I have goosebumps just listening to that.
that was such a scary moment, because in my head, when we came out of the pool, I heard, we saved him. You cannot ignore us any longer. And I remember saying to my family, I don't know what this means, but he's alive because of spirit. So I need to do something, and I don't even know what it is, but I'm just going to trust that spirit is going to bring me the mentor or teacher that I need to have in order to understand this gift.
Wow. That's quite interesting. That it's like you received a kick in the pants.
But you know what? A lot of us, unfortunately, take on the spirituality and the learning because we've had something traumatic happen to us.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what kicked me in the pants, not to become a medium, obviously. But
that's the unfortunate part, is because we go through our lives, and many of us don't even realize that there is a spiritual component to our lives. But then something traumatic happens, and what do? We turn to an energy, we turn to God, we turn to spirituality, whatever it is we turn to, because we're looking for answers and we want to understand.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, most of the skeptics out there are, you know, they're materialist. I mean, unfortunately, our scholastic system and schools and universities and the way that the world works is based on materialistic things that can be seen, touched, felt, money, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
There's not enough emphasis on, you know, what sets us apart from all the other animals and all the other
is our free will and our intuition. I mean, animals have their intuition, and when they're afraid, they fight or flight. We don't listen to that intuition. We don't see it as a tool to communicate.
Right. We are so much more than that. And unfortunately, that's where all the money is, based in materialism. So, you know, all this new science, you have all these great researchers like Dean Radin, and, you know, I can name a whole bunch of other researchers that, you know, I've read their books and everything, but you know, they're struggling because the money is with the materialistic sciences, and
right.
Nothing is you know, it's still considered woo-woo even now. But I think, you know, with the internet, I think it's getting a little bit better because it's being communicated more, and more people, you know, are forming groups and going online and seeing this other potential, you know, place where information can be found.
Right, and that's why I love the Forever Family Foundation, because when I first heard about them and I heard that they were all about looking at the science behind life after death and trying to show the proof that life does exist even though the body is no longer here, I thought, oh my God, that's exactly what I want to be a part of, because no one wants to know that their loved ones are gone and that we're never going to have communication with them. No one wants to give that up, give up that connection. So the fact that an organization like Forever Family is able to show us that life does exist after the fact, that's so beautiful. Now you know, okay, I'm going to see my loved one at some point. I'm going to connect with them. I can still connect with them.
It's an amazing organization. They've done so much good for so many people. That I'm proud to be part of it, absolutely.
Me too. So
So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, we're going to, you know, I got a lot of other cool questions to ask you.
Awesome, great.
All right, so stand by, everybody.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right. Thank you for sticking around, everybody. Welcome back. We are here at the Signs of Life Radio, and we're talking to the very wonderful and gifted Gina Simone, and we're talking about skepticism in the afterlife. So we were dealing with different topics before, but I want to move on to a different topic right now. It's kind of related to skepticism. It's kind of something I think everybody gets faced with, okay? Because everybody has loved ones and friends that, you know, that die, and you know, you're going to be at their deathbed, or you know, at some point visiting them, and if they're really advanced in their thing. Like, how do you approach talking to them about the afterlife when they're not really into it, they haven't been exposed to it, let's say? And this is, I'm asking because I have a personal friend who's a devout Catholic, an amazing person, an incredible guitarist, who actually inspired me to take up the guitar. And he's, you know, I saw him Labor Day last year. We did a gig together, and I get a call a couple of weeks ago that he's on his deathbed with cancer that just spread throughout his body. I went to visit him once. He didn't look too good. And they moved him home for hospice care at home. And he sounds like a million times better, but, you know, cancer is cancer. Anyways, my whole thing is, like, how do you approach the subject? Do you talk to them about it? Because if you do, you're kind of saying, hey, man, you're a goner, you know, but you always want to hold out hope. So, like, how do you approach that? Or do you approach it? Like,
I've been in this situation before, and I have found that just being there with the person and letting them know how much you love them and care for them, mm-hmm. and that they're going to be okay, that's really the only message that you can give someone, especially if they are either devout religious or they're an atheist and they don't believe in God. It's important for us to show what the universe is really about and what they're going to learn about when they cross over. And that is that the only thing that's really important here is love. That's all that matters.
Right.
And it's not something where we have to talk them into there is an afterlife and you're going to exist afterwards. It's not for us to change their mind. Because believe it or not, when they cross over, they're going to know that everything is okay. I've had so many readings where a parent is on the other side and is giving validations about themselves, and then they're explaining what it is that they see on the other side. And the sitter will actually say, I'm so surprised that my father is saying this because he never believed in the afterlife when he was alive. And I would turn to them and say, but he believes it now. So really the only thing that we can do for all of you that are with someone who is perhaps, you know, at the very end of their life where there isn't that much mm-hmm. time, is just be there for the individual and just let them know how much they are loved and appreciated.
Right.
And
yeah.
not even to talk about the death or the impending death. It's just
okay.
to be there for them, just to let them know they're okay right now in the moment and they're loved and appreciated. Because trust me, even though they may not be talking about death, they're obviously thinking about it. You know, just because we don't talk about something with other people doesn't mean that we're not thinking about it. And each person has their own belief system. So we're not really here to change someone's belief system. Just as I was saying earlier, I'm not here to change a skeptic's viewpoint. If they want to be skeptical, then they're allowed to be. That's their learning process.
Right. So, and you're not a preacher.
No, I'm not here to preach. All
exactly.
I'm here to do is just show through example. What that person wants to take from that, that's up to them. Because I always say, take whatever you're given, take it, absorb whatever you want to, and just let the rest go to the wayside. So for those of us who have loved ones who probably are not going to be here for a very long time, really the only thing that the soul wants in that moment is just to know that they're loved and cared for. That's all that they want. Souls never want to say, how come you didn't tell me that this is what I was going to see, or why didn't you do X, Y, and Z? They just want to know, was I loved and appreciated? Right. And that, if we show that to our loved ones who are here, that's all that their soul needs, to know that they're loved.
That's really some good advice. I feel better already because 2 years ago, I kicked myself for not having a spiritual conversation with another friend of mine who was on a deathbed because I thought I had more time. You know, he was in the hospital, and he was conversing with me. We were telling jokes. Everything was fine. And 2 days later, he was gone, and I never got to tell him about, you know, about the afterlife. But, you know, I think he knew that I was there, you know, out of love.
Yes. Look what you just said. You were joking and laughing, and that is a component of love: joy, laughter, being in the moment. You did exactly what that soul needed in that moment, and that was just to appreciate life in that moment. Not talking about, hey, where do you think you're going to end up when you pass, and do you, you know, have you thought about this? And that's all stuff that can bring down the energy of a soul. We don't want to do that. We want towards the end of a person's life to be laughing and bringing up memories and just having a great time, so that when you leave that person, they're feeling, wow, that was such an amazing gift to be able to see my friend in that way.
That is very good advice. So I would like to talk about, you know, everybody has intuition, okay? Whether you're a skeptic, whether you're not, you do have some intuition. You make some educated guesses, you know, and when asked how did you do it, you'll just, you know, some people will shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know, I just had a hunch or whatever. So can you tell us about learning how to listen to your intuition?
Yeah. So intuition, as you just said, is something that we are, it's an innate gift that we all have. It's that feeling in the pit of your stomach that either something is wrong or something feels right, and you can't explain why. And we've all gone through where we've wanted to make certain decisions in life, and other people around us are going, are you crazy? And that's ridiculous, and I can't believe you haven't thought this through. But meanwhile, our gut says, yes, go ahead and take that leap of faith. You know, change the job or do something. And we just, we can't explain it, but we just know that we have it within us. That intuition is within each of us. Intuition is also something that those of us who are very creative, if we draw or play music or, do sculpture or anything like that, that's coming from our intuition. So even if we pick up a guitar and we start to play, we may start to play certain notes and tunes, and all of a sudden we're creating a song. That's our intuition that's saying, I'm using my creative gift to bring out music, to bring out the beauty of music. Intuition is listening to that little voice that there's no immediate, I'm going to say almost like there's no immediate tangible validation. It's just something that we know or feel, and we don't know where it's coming from, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I always tell when spirit comes through and they validate, listen, you know, I know that my wife is always talking to me, and she's always having conversations in our mind, and I need her to know that we actually are having a conversation together. Please don't let her think that she's going crazy, okay? I always explain that the way that those conversations that just come to us in our mind, where we're talking to our loved ones on the other side, as humans, we don't give it enough credit and credibility, because we're saying, well, we must be making up this conversation in our own head. It's us. Spirit will validate, no, that's actually us having a conversation together. And the way that I receive information is sort of like, it just, as I was saying before, it just kind of comes up out of nowhere, and I can't really pinpoint or put my finger on it. But the difference between me as a medium and the sitter who's sitting there is that I already know that those conversations or those pictures that I see in my mind, that that is already validation from spirit. Whereas the sitter is just saying, well, I'm just having a conversation with my husband, but that can't be an actual conversation. So the only difference is that my intuition is showing me pictures or I'm having a conversation with someone in my head, but I already believe that that truly is information from that spirit. Whereas the individual who has those conversations or those feelings like, I feel like my son is sitting right beside me, or I hear him get laughing and giggling, and we don't give that any credence because the outside of our ear didn't hear him giggling. But within us, within our soul, within our mind, we can hear him giggling. So that is the intuition that's speaking to us and saying, no, no, your loved one is here. Please consider this a validation because it is them that is trying to use our emotions or our thoughts to connect to them.
You know, what you started saying at the beginning of what you just said very, very much resonated with me because I love to improvise on guitar. That's my main instrument.
And yeah.
I will sit there for hours if I have time, when I have time. When the kids go to bed and everything's done at the, you know, at the end of the night kind of thing, I'll go into my studio and put on some backing tracks and just, you know, improvise away, just solo away. And not even think, and the notes come out, and it sounds great, and I just, you know, to me, it's a great form of catharsis, and, you know, it's all, you know, it's intuitive playing, that's what I would call it, and it's very powerful. The other thing that you said that's really interesting is about, you know, what I think about, well, let me comment on what you said. I think that the ego is what... It's intuition's worst enemy, you know, is
yes.
The ego.
It's our nemesis, yes.
It's the nemesis. Everybody has an ego. It was a survival type of thing when we were,
yep.
You know, before we evolved or whatever, and now it just works against us. It's that little voice in your head that's telling you, no, people are going to laugh at you. No, don't do this. No, it's,
right.
You know, it can't be right. No, you know?
Yes.
And there's a famous philosopher who's still alive. His name is Eckhart Tolle. You probably heard of him.
Of course.
Yeah, he talks about living in the now and, like, squashing the ego, like the techniques to squash the ego. He's got a couple of books that were very, very interesting on that topic. But, listening to your intuition and believing in it and, you know, suppressing the ego long enough that you can actually receive some, you know, really good information from the ego, I think is very important.
Okay, now, it's interesting what you just said about suppressing the ego, because when you're in, and I know that I'm going to speak in your terms so that you can relate to this, and then hopefully people who are listening can relate as well.
Okay.
When you're in that zone of picking up your guitar and just playing from intuition, you almost have an out-of-body experience where you're there, but you're not really there. It's almost
you're
like
zoned
something
out.
Is taken. Yeah, you're zoned out. Absolutely.
Yep.
It's like something is taking over from you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Something is there. You're somewhere else. And we've all had that where we're driving down a road and we're having a conversation with someone in our head or we're thinking about something. And then all of a sudden we snap out of it and we think, oh, my God, where was I? Because I could have gotten into an accident. Like I wasn't even paying attention to the road. That's that zone out that we get. And that's suppressing the ego. And when you're in that intuitive place, you are connecting to the power of the universe. You are connecting to that part of you that is all your intuitive gut connection that is bringing forth that gift. That's what a medium does. When we're sitting in the zone, we are in the place of connecting to something bigger and greater to ourselves and then trusting, just as you trust the notes that come through your fingers
mm-hmm.
and trusting, making that melody, you're not thinking, oh, wow, this sucks, or wow, I just hit a bad note. You just continue playing. And then before you know it, you're creating a melody that you don't even know how you created it. That's your intuition because you suppress the ego. The ego is the one that's going to tell you, oh, my God, this song sounds gross. Or who would even listen to this, right? Your intuition says just play and trust. And that's what you do. You just play and trust. Now, I just have to ask you this
mm-hmm.
because I keep getting this strong feeling. Is there a guitar that has your son's name on it?
Well, I have a guitar that was my son's, yeah, that I'm...
Okay, thank you, because I know that we weren't supposed to be doing readings, but his energy is so strong, and he wants you to know that when you're actually sitting there playing and connecting to your intuition and playing that music, that he's sitting with his guitar playing with you at the same time. That's why he kept saying, my guitar, my guitar. So you still have his guitar. He wants you to know that he's playing it with you, because he says, I'm co-creating with my dad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I need you to understand this, that you are connecting to spirit when you're in that moment of your intuition, that intuitive playing. That is your mode of connecting to your intuition and connecting to spirit, because you're suppressing the ego and you're just connecting to that all power that you're plugging into. That's exactly what a medium does. That's exactly what a medium does. You are a medium in that moment.
Thank you so much for that, Simone. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is mind-blowing. while I recover here, we're going to take another break, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com. That's KAMLAK.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right, all right, all right, as Matthew McConaughey would say.
Thank you for
hanging in there with us. It's been, for me personally, an incredible show. Thank you again, Dina. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm all smiles and feeling warm and fuzzy all over right now because of, the validation that I've received. It is really good. So let's talk about, we have about 10 minutes left. Let's talk about how we can connect with our loved ones. These sessions usually start off with one topic, but they always diverge into other topics, which is completely fine. So how do we connect with our loved ones?
Okay, so remember how we were talking earlier about Eckhart Tolle and his book, The Power of Now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that book, he talks about that all we really have is the present moment, right?
Yes.
Whatever's in the past is in the past, and
yep.
We have no idea what's coming into the future, so all we really have is the present moment. The present moment is actually the key to us connecting to our own intuition and connecting to our loved ones. However we can get into that quiet zone, which for you, Roman, you said was all about playing your instruments, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For other people, it could be cooking, where they're just in their zone and they're just doing their thing and they're not worrying about anything else, not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future. But for a lot of people who may not know, well, what's my thing to get into my zone, just sitting down and meditating. Sitting down and giving yourself some quiet time where you're just connecting to you now in that moment, okay? Where ideas are coming through and, oh my God, I need to buy coffee and did I feel, I have to stop later and get gas for the car. No, that's not the stuff that we want to talk about. We want to just be in the moment where we're quiet and we're just in that Zen place. And what ends up happening is all of a sudden we start to realize that all we really have is now, is this moment. And in that quiet time is where we can stop and start our conversations with our loved ones, where we're actually having a conversation with our child on the other side. For those of you who don't know, we lost our 27-year-old son last year from complications from leukemia.
Yeah,
and it was something that was very, very difficult for us, obviously, losing a child. I mean, it's just horrific, the pain.
Oh, yeah.
I know you know how I feel. I don't do anything special other than what I tell people to do, and that is sit down quietly and have a conversation with him. And I ask him in my head, how are you doing? and I remember his voice, and I allow him to respond, and I tell him this is the things that are going on here, and he'll respond with, I know, or I can't believe that, you know, my sister did that stupid thing, and we just have a conversation. And I'm not looking to hear anything outside of myself. I just want to connect with his spirit. That is where we can come to a place where we don't have to feel like our loved one is in a space where we can no longer connect with them. Suddenly, we're bringing that loved one into our current space, the power of now. That's when you know I'm staying quiet and I'm having a conversation with my loved one. They're showing me how happy they are on the other side, and I am trusting and believing that this conversation really is the truth, that it really is validating. Instead of saying, oh, I have to see my loved one outside of myself standing in front of me, or I have to hear my loved one call my name, we're sitting there in that quiet moment saying, I trust and believe that the conversation I'm having with my loved one is actually happening. And that's powerful, because that in and of itself gets the skeptic out of their skepticism, because we're now connecting to something that we can't touch. And we're actually, it makes us feel good. I'm having a conversation with my loved one and it's making me feel good. How can that be anything but validating?
Right.
If it didn't make us feel good, we wouldn't do it, right? But talking to our loved ones does make us feel better. Yes, there may be some tears and we miss them and we want to hold them physically. But the only way for us to connect to our loved ones is to go into that Zen zone place.
Right. So, does it make, I mean, you're connecting with your son, who's obviously you're very, very close with, as close as humans can possibly be. And, you know, you're also, you connect with people that are not close to you, from clients, people like strangers, basically. Does it make a difference whether the closeness and the ability to connect based on their closeness, does that play a factor, or does that affect the connection?
Not at all, because spirit is spirit is spirit. Whether it's our own loved one on the other side that we love and miss terribly, or it's, you know, Sally from down the street that we grew up with and she's on the other side, we can connect to anyone that we want to. But what I love is when we have conversations with our loved ones, and perhaps the relationship wasn't that great here on Earth, and now when we have the conversation with our loved one on the other side and we're conversing, I love when sometimes the sitter will actually feel like, I feel like my dad is apologizing to me. Now, that is not the individual person who's saying, oh, I wish my father had, you know, said sorry when he was alive, or I wish that we had made peace before he passed. It's after the fact, and a lot of people don't trust that. They don't trust that the information that they're getting or the conversation that they're having, that it's valid. And that makes me so sad, because that's exactly how a medium gets the information, is just by having a conversation with that spirit on the other side, whether we know them or we don't know them. The energy is exactly the same.
Very interesting. Is there, are your loved ones with you all the time?
Loved ones are always with us. They are always with us, because there's no way a medium can validate certain things that have happened since they've crossed.
Okay.
For us not to say that your loved one is always with you, which is why they will validate things that have happened since they've passed. How could they have known that a particular experience happened? How could they have known? I remember this one reading where the girl, her father was on the other side, and the father was not able to be here physically for her wedding. And he actually talked about how her heel went through her wedding dress and tore it.
Hmm.
So on her wedding day, she tore her own wedding dress.
Right.
How can a spirit validate that if it's not your loved one that's saying, I'm always here with you?
Well, I agree with that, but at the same time, I have this other question to ask. I mean, when you're crossed over on the other side, you're in a different world and a much better world, probably, and you have so many more interesting things to do, see. You're not hampered by the physical ness of not being able to be wherever you want to be. I mean, I've read books by Anthony Borgia, you know, his take on heaven. It was very, very fascinating what spirits can do. My question is, if they're with us all the time, like, don't they have lives of their own on the other side that they, you know, a life to live there? So they, you know, just come and visit us at important moments or when we're zoned in or whatever, and then, you know, go about doing their own things.
So I know that this is hard to understand, but
okay,
a spirit is in all places at all times. As humans, we can only be in our house or in our car, right? We can't be in both. On
right.
the other side, spirit, because they're no longer housed by a dense human body, can be in all places at all times, which means they can be with different loved ones all at the same time. And that's hard for us to conceive because
right.
as humans, we only know how to be in one place at a time.
In one physical
form. You're either in your studio right now or you're visiting your friend. You're at your aunt's house visiting your friend. Like that's the only place that we know. So we say, well, how could spirit be in so many different places at one time? Because the energy of the spirit is different now and the dynamic of the universe is completely different. There is no longer it's a sunny day or it's a rainy day. There on the other side, everything exists all at the same time. And that's really hard to understand from a human perspective.
It is, because also the whole concept of time, which is man-made, so that we can interpret how, you know, where we are.
Exactly.
Time
does not exist. Time does
right.
not exist on the other side. So to them, decades or minutes is the same exact thing. Spirit does that all the time. One of my signs when spirit says, please tell my mom that's here that I'll see her in a short while, that doesn't mean that the mother's passing soon. Spirit will literally blink their eyes and say, to me, it's either seconds or decades. To them is the same thing. There's
wow.
no concept of time on the other
yeah,
side.
Yeah, that's pretty mind-blowing. Even, you know, I've heard that before, but it's still mind-blowing.
It is, isn't it, that it's like, well, they don't, that you mean decades are actually going to pass and they're going to feel like, oh my God, I was just thinking about you when we were just doing that reading that you did 20 years ago, and it's today, and you're crossed over. Yeah, spirit doesn't know time.
Yeah, that's why they don't miss us. We miss them. They don't miss us.
They don't miss us because they're always with us.
Right.
So for everyone who's listening, please understand that your loved ones are always with you, and they're doing their own thing. They're traveling. They're having their own experiences all at the same time. The way that, and I'm going to say this from a religious standpoint for those who understand, the way that God is with everything and everyone at the same time is the way that our loved ones and spirit energies become once they cross over. They are one with everything. That is.
Those are amazing words to end the show with, Kina. That's
Thank
really
you.
So in a couple of weeks, you're going to be back on the radio with on this show discussing your book with Tom Gould.
Yes, I can't wait. I can't
yeah.
wait. Yes, it's going to be very exciting. But I just want to say, Roman, thank you so much for allowing me to be on this radio program
oh,
and
absolutely.
To talk with you and to be able to share that little message that your son wanted to share with you.
My heart's still warm. It's still, wow, it's amazing.
I love that. I love that.
Thank you so much,
Kina.
So
thank you.
Before we go, let's just give you another little plug. You basically, the best way to get a hold of you is through your website, right?
Yep, GinaSimoneMedium.com, yep.
GinaSimoneMedium.com, and I hope, you know, I know your business is probably doing fantastic, and I just, you know, I wish you all the best, and I know
Yes, and I just want to say one other thing, that every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern mm-hmm. Standard Time on Instagram, I do free mini readings. So just log on to my Instagram account, and it's Gina Simone Medium. And every Tuesday night, just log on in, follow me, and I take questions, and I answer, and I connect with spirit.
Fantastic. That's some gold. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And, you know, our loved ones are a heartbeat away. Science is going to prove it one day. And, again, thank you for being with us, and have a great
thank
night,
you.
Everybody. And thank you, Gina.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.